everyone. My name is Ashwin Baliga, and I'm a program manager within the enterprise and security team at Microsoft. Microsoft has invested heavily in ensuring that we offer as secure an operating system as possible, all the way from the hardware layer to the application layer, to ensure robust end-to-end security for our customers. As we're heading close to the launch of Windows Server 2022, my colleague Jess and I will walk over some of the security enhancements that we offer with this operating system. First, let's understand why there's a growing need to invest in server security. In the current pandemic-driven remote work environment, security has gained an increasing importance. Over the last year alone, we saw over 142 million personal records from former hotel guests on the dark web. Phishing attacks have also resulted in the compromise of sensitive information such as patients' medical records and taxpayers' information. These data breaches are extremely expensive, with the average cost of a data breach being pegged at about $3.6 million. There's also been a surge in the number of ransomware attacks, with a ransomware attack expected every 11 seconds. The total cost of damages due to these attacks is estimated to be about $20 billion in 2021. With a growing number of cybersecurity threats and the impact of incidents escalating quickly, security is a top priority for our customers. Windows Server 2022 includes new security capabilities like Secure Core Server and Secure Connectivity. I'll be providing an overview of Secure Core Servers and speaking about how they help protect some of the most sensitive assets within your organization. Jess will then walk through some of the latest encryption in transit technologies and how it enhances privacy, performance, and manageability for online servers. Secure Core Servers bring powerful threat protection together to provide multi-layer security across hardware, firmware, and the operating system. Secure Core Servers were principally built with three key customer value propositions in mind. The first is advanced protection. Secure Core Servers use hardware, firmware, and operating system capabilities to the fullest extent to provide protection against current and future threats. The protections enabled by a Secure Core Server are targeted to create a secure platform for critical applications and data used on that server. Second is preventative defense. Enabling Secure Core functionality helps proactively defend against and disrupt many of the paths attackers may use to exploit a system. This set of defenses also enables IT and SecOps teams to better leverage their time across the many areas that need their attention. The third is simplified security. When customers acquire a Secure Core Server, there is an assurance that the OEM has provided a set of hardware, firmware, and drivers that satisfy the Secure Core promise. Windows Server and Azure Stack HCI systems will have easy configuration experiences in the Windows Admin Center to enable the security features offered by Secure Core Servers. We'll get into this in a little bit. For now, let's go deeper into the technical aspects of Secure Core Servers. Secure Core Servers are built around three distinct security pillars. The first is to protect the device with a hardware root of trust. The second is to defend the device against firmware-level attacks. And the third is to prevent unverified code from accessing and running on the system. At the heart of the Secure Core Server promise is a hardware-enforced root of trust. This means that your server runs in a clean, trusted state, regardless of the state of any firmware code that runs before the device boots. A trusted platform module, also known as a TPM 2.0, serves as the hardware root of trust for Secure Core Servers. This helps offer hardware protection for sensitive assets like BitLocker keys and secure measurements for the state of the system. Secure boot ensures that the firmware is digitally signed and validates that all the early boot drivers loading up in the boot chain have not been tampered with. To protect critical resources such as the Windows authentication stack and single sign-on tokens, a system's firmware and hardware must be trustworthy. Windows Defender System Guard reorganizes the existing Windows system integrity features under one roof. It helps protect and maintain the integrity of the system as it starts up and validates that system integrity has truly been maintained through local and remote attestation. Windows Defender System Guard Secure Launch aims to alleviate certain limitations with UEFI Secure Boot by leveraging a technology known as Dynamic Root of Trust Measurement, also known as the DRTM. DRTM lets the system freely boot into untrusted code initially, but shortly after launches the system into a trusted state by taking control of all the CPUs and forcing them down a well-known and a measured code path. This has the benefit of allowing untrusted early UEFI code to boot the system and then being able to securely transition into a trusted and measured state. Essentially, this means that a large amount of code in the UEFI firmware is isolated from sensitive system assets protected by the hypervisor. The last few years have seen a rapid rise in the number of ransomware attacks. WannaCry was one such attack, which required victims to pay a ransom in Bitcoin to be able to access their data. Botnets such as TrickBot are prolific distributors of ransomware, such as the Ryuk ransomware, which affected organizations across the world. Secured code servers help offer protection against these attacks by ensuring that code running within the trusted computing base runs with integrity and is not subject to outside exploitation or attack. Secured code servers use policies enabled with Hypervisor Enforced Code Integrity, also known as the HVCI, to check system software before it is loaded, and only starts executables that are signed by known and approved authorities. HVCI leverages VBS to run in an isolated environment within the kernel, which protects it from outside attack. Kernel mode code integrity checks all kernel mode drivers and binaries before they are started and prevents unsigned drivers or system files from being loaded into the system memory. This ensures that only code from trusted and verified sources can run on the system, providing strong protection against kernel viruses and malware and also helping mitigate some of these ransomware attacks. Now that we've covered the technical aspects of how secured core servers help protect your assets and data, let's take a closer look at how Windows Admin Center, a locally deployed server management tool, can be used to easily report and enable secured core features. In this demo, I will connect to my on-prem Windows Server 2022 data center machine and navigate to the new security tool. Here, you'll see a tab for secured core where you can view the secured core status of your machine, along with simple buttons to enable and disable them. And we can see that 5 of the 6 security features have already been enabled. Let's enable the last one, HVCI. This will require us to restart the server. I can easily navigate to the overview page here and restart the server. Now, if I navigate back to the security tool, I'll see that beautiful green checkmark saying that my server is fully secured code enabled. We are extremely excited to launch secured core servers with Windows Server 2022. The OS has all the security advancements built in, but secured core functionalities won't work on the OS implementation alone. It requires hardware, firmware, and the OS to work together to activate them. That's why Microsoft has partnered with leading server manufacturers and silicon vendors over the past few years to bring that secured core technology into the server space. It's been a long journey, but we are confident that secured core servers will bring an unparalleled level of host protection to secure your data and businesses. Again, we couldn't have launched secured core servers without close engagement with these partners. And we really appreciate their partnership and are excited about the advancement in the security posture we have mutually achieved with secured core servers in Windows Server 2022. This includes our silicon partners at Intel and AMD and our OEM partners at Dataon, Dell, Fujitsu, HPE, and Lenovo. Last but not the least, here are some early examples of products you will see in the Windows Server catalog that are secured core server certified. Expect to see more added as our partners finish validation and certification of their products. Look for the secured core server mentioned under the Certified for Windows section in the Windows Server catalog system entries. This concludes the secured core server segment. Now I'll pass the baton over to Jess, who will speak about all the security enhancements that we've made in the connectivity space for Windows Server 2022.
Thank you, Ashwin, for that fantastic insight into how a server's integrity can be verified from the ground up with Secured Core. I'm Jess Krenitsky, and in this segment, I will shift focus to how server applications can protect their data with secure connectivity in Windows Server 2022. The basis of secure connectivity is formed in securing the transport layer, where data packets are sent between clients and servers across networks. The standard protocol for establishing a secure communication channel and encrypting data is the transport layer security, which is implemented in S-Channel by Windows. The most recent version, TLS 1.3, enhances security over older versions by eliminating obsolete cryptographic algorithms and encrypting as early in the handshake as possible. We will explore in more detail how this is accomplished in a moment, but Windows Server 2022 comes with TLS 1.3 enabled by default for all applications such as HTTP to connect securely and privately. Before a secure connection can be established with a server, a client application must look up the location of the server it wants to connect to using a DNS query. These requests are typically sent in the clear and are vulnerable to monitoring or tampering by bad actors on the network. With DOE, or DNS over HTTP, these name resolution requests are encrypted with TLS, making it far more difficult to inspect a desired target. Note that only the DNS client is supported, meaning Windows Server 2022 can send encrypted DNS queries, but it cannot resolve encrypted DNS queries using the included first-party DNS server. Secure connectivity also extends to protecting files hosted on servers. Server Message Block (SMB) now supports the modern AES 256 cryptographic suites and uses SMB over QUIC to create a TLS 1.3 tunnel that encrypts all file traffic, including authentication and authorization. Additionally, clusters can configure east to west encryption to protect communications within the cluster of the SMB. I will spend most of this session digging into the foundational improvements provided by TLS 1.3, and then show a practical demo of how easy it is to enable these improvements when using SMB over QUIC. So let's jump right in. To understand why TLS 1.3 is an improvement over previous TLS versions, it helps to compare them side by side. This illustration shows a full TLS handshake in version 1.2 and in version 1.3. The key components are the client and server hello used to initiate the connection, the negotiation of keys and cryptographic algorithms to use, and the finished message, which indicates the connection is established and secure. Without going into too much detail, it is clear that the cryptographic negotiation happens earlier in the TLS 1.3 handshake, allowing encrypted HTTP data to be sent one round trip earlier than in TLS 1.2. Although it is worth noting that when TLS 1.2 uses false start, it can also send application data on the second round trip. This round-trip reduction may not seem like a big deal, but remember that this happens every time an application communicates with another endpoint. And at that scale, every fraction of a second counts. With the high-level handshake differences in mind, it is easy to see how TLS 1.3 provides stronger security promises. First, the large variety of cipher suites to choose from in TLS 1.2 leads to broken interoperability and inconsistent security properties. TLS 1.3 uses only 5 cipher suites, all with perfect forward secrecy, meaning a compromised key cannot decrypt previous traffic, and AEAD, authentication encryption with associated data, creating consistent security properties wherever the new secure protocol is used. We saw that encryption starts late in the TLS 1.2 handshake. Middle boxes and routers on networks will inspect TLS packets and drop them if something seems off, making it difficult to update parameters that are expected by the network, even if a vulnerability exists. This is called protocol ossification and is mitigated in TLS 1.3 by having a minimal set of clear text protocol bits on the wire, enabling faster updates going forward. In TLS 1.2, the client certificate and the target site are sent before the handshake is encrypted, and can be observed by attackers on the network. TLS 1.3 enhances privacy by encrypting earlier in the handshake and hiding the contact length of message data. And finally, it typically takes one fewer round trip to establish a connection with TLS 1.3, making web pages load more quickly for a better user experience. S-Channel's TLS 1.3 implementation currently supports the following cipher suites and extensions. Note that prominently unsupported features include zero RTT resumption mode, pre-shared key resumption mode, and the two CCM cipher suites. This information will be most interesting to application developers, and more detail can be found on Microsoft documentation. TLS 1.3 is not only enabled in the operating system for direct callers, but it is also supported by all the major system components that use TLS. These prominently include IIS and HTTP.sys, WinINet, WinHTTP, and WebIO, .NET Core version 5.0, and .NET Framework version 4.8, MS Quick, and Internet Explorer and Edge Classic and Chromium Edge. Note that the TLS 1.3 in Chromium Edge is implemented by Chromium, not by Windows. Now that we've covered the technical improvements of TLS 1.3 provides, let's take a look at one example of how other Windows Server features take advantage of this enhanced security. SMB Protocol version 3.1.1 uses QUIC as the underlying transport protocol rather than TCP. QUIC uses multiplexing on top of UDP to reliably traverse lossy or untrusted networks. By using SMB over QUIC, along with TLS 1.3, users and applications can securely and reliably access data from edge file servers running in Azure. And additionally, mobile and telecommuter users no longer need a VPN to access their file servers over SMB when on Windows. So now I'm going to give a demonstration of how to deploy a server certificate that is trusted by clients to an SMB server, enable SMB over QUIC on the file server, and then connect to shares with an unchanged user experience. Here we go. I'm going to configure SMB over QUIC on my Edge file server, which is Windows Server 2022 Azure Edition. I need to use Windows Admin Center for this, as you may have guessed. Here I have my sales team share, and I'm going to navigate to the Settings tab for this server. You'll notice there is a new option under File Shares for configuring SMB over QUIC, and it is super easy. So I click Configure, select a certificate that has been issued to the server that meets the requirements. So we're going to pick this one, and then I make sure to specify which target names can be used by an application to connect to the file share. Then you can look at advanced settings if you want, but you shouldn't need to. Just select a cert and click Enable, and you're good to go. That's it. SMB over QUIC is now configured on my file server. So now I'm going to show the experience today using normal SMB over TCP to access a file. So I have a file here, the traveling sales pitch, and it's located in the Z drive of the file share. I'll go ahead and open for this for you to see. And there it is, Contoso dog cleaning products, working normally and looking lovely. Now let's put this user on the road. Say they are out and about and can no longer get to their server using TCP, but rather they're limited by UDP internet. To simulate this, here are the different ways Windows Firewall is allowing inbound connections and denying connections. So we are going to add a rule that blocks TCP connections on port 443. So here you see no TCP, block connections on this port 443. And we're going to enable this rule and see that with QUIC, it'll be very interesting. So now that we don't have TCP, we shouldn't be able to access the file that way. Go ahead and click it, same user, no tricks up my sleeve, and there the file opens. It still works because now I'm just using SMB over QUIC. I can even change to another one of the names for the server and it still works. Hence, the user doesn't see any real difference in the experience. Now we'll take a look at Wireshark to get a bit more gritty and see what is happening under the covers. And as you can see here, when I open this file up, I'm not using TCP, but I'm on UDP 443, which is a very internet-friendly transport protocol. But remember, I'm inside a TLS tunnel, so I have AES 128 or 256 encrypted safety. And again, the user experience is virtually the same, when in reality, SMB over QUIC is working very differently than traditional SMB. Pretty slick, right? So we have covered a lot. How hardware and firmware layer are fortified with the operating system on secured core servers, and we've seen how the application layer is protected and optimized on top of TLS 1.3. This is just the tip of the iceberg for all the exciting security features in Windows, and we are so excited to be able to create a platform that is secure by default. Thank you for your time.